Hey, this is Jim McDonald. Welcome to episode 118 of the PowerCast. This episode is Chris Bell. We catch back up with Chris. He's back in town for his birthday. So we had a lot to talk about, including the release date for Prescription Thugs that we've all been waiting for is actually in January. We talk about it in this episode. Also, he's working on a new Strongman documentary. And we talk about, well, Chris is in the house, so we talk about a lot of different things. So anyway, join us in this very fun conversation, at least fun from our perspective, hopefully fun from yours as well. Our sponsors for this episode include HowMuchYouBench.net, as always, ThePowerMagazine.com, as always, CavemanCoffeeCo.com, as always, ShopCompex.com, CompexUSA at ShopCompex.com, and Rogue Fitness at thepowercast.com/rogue. Also, with this episode, we'd like to welcome Ape Man Strong. You've probably seen, if you're around the powerlifting scene or Instagram or anywhere else relative to fitness, you will see the Ape Man Strong t-shirts. We talked to the guys who started Ape Man back in, I think, February at the LA Fit Expo, and they were telling us that some of the things that we said early on this program helped inspire them to start the company. So it's really great to bring them on. You can find them at apemanstrong.com. Hit us up on iTunes with a 5-star rating and review. We always appreciate those. And now, without any further ado, episode 118 of the PowerCast.
Live at Super Training Gym in West Sacramento, California, this is Mark Bell's PowerCast. Alongside Silent Mike and Jim McD, here's your host, Mark Bell.
That guy sounded fat. Didn't that guy sound fat?
He is fat. Yeah.
I heard he exploded. He's not here anymore.
Yeah, he's in San Jose trying to be a doctor or some shit.
I'm never going to let that guy touch me.
Walking in and seeing a guy all hairy, like, oh, yeah, I got to fix you.
What's your problem?
Spinal.
Spinal. I broke my back.
Spinal.
So we got my brother here on the podcast today, and I just, by a show of hands out there, I'd like to know who would like to see him choke slammed right through this goddamn table and put finally out of his goddamn misery.
I didn't know we were live, but I see 1,000 hands.
I don't really see a lot of hands up there.
A sea of hands, perhaps. I got some Sour Patch Kids. Shit's ready to go off on this motherfucker.
When does this shit drop? Next week? This week?
Next week.
Next week.
What shit?
This shit.
This podcast?
That hot shit.
I know.
Yeah, speaking of hot shit, you said hot shits are gross, but why does every rapper bring that hot shit?
What?
You've never heard rappers say, like, I got that hot shit?
I don't listen to enough.
November
now,
4th or November 11th?
11th.
Mm.
11th.
That hot shit.
Happy November 11th. 11th.
Happy birthday, Chris.
I mean, I can switch the order up, but I mean, you know.
Happy birthday, Chris.
My birthday is November 3rd, so this is way past my birthday.
Hey, let me ask you a question. How was your birthday?
I don't know yet. It's actually happening on
what
Tuesday.
What are you, fucking McFly?
Yeah.
It's already
That's a good movie, yeah?
What, Back to the Future?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, you know.
Whoa! Back to the Future's not good? That's a good movie.
It's pretty good.
All right,
We have not been able to afford a flux capacitor, so we appreciate 8 Man Strong jumping on to sponsor and some other people, Rogue Fitness. We need more sponsors to get a flux capacitor.
Yes.
At least 20 sponsors per flux capacitor. That shit's not easy
Maybe
to build.
Maybe start a GoFundIt.
Flux capacitor.
Why does everybody do a GoFundIt? What are your thoughts on that?
Everyone's fucking broke. Ain't nobody got no money. Nobody wants to fucking work either.
But the problem
every
is
time I say GoFundMe, I'm like, go fuck yourself. Like, it's always something like, oh,
why would
you,
I fund you, you fat fuck?
I know. I saw a guy wanted to get sponsored to $2,500 so he can go to the Olympia. And
that's
I'm like,
great.
Yeah, but why not? Yeah, why isn't it ever for something awesome? Like, okay, Silent Mike started a GoFundMe to build a flux capacitor. Then you'd be like, well, I'll give that guy $200.
Exactly.
That's fucking cool.
It's always something stupid. It's like there actually is a lot of people out – there are a lot of people out there that are doing it for, you know, somebody has cancer or something. That's a little different. I think that's what it's for.
Yeah.
But when you fall on a financial hardship, I don't think it's for that.
Or even
one
your
of those,
movie.
Rental companies started on there. What it's like – I don't even know how to say it, but it's just an abbreviation for something. One of the rental companies.
Cars or
one
what
of
do
the,
you rent?
Houses, apartments.
Oh, Airbnb or something?
Yeah. It started as like
maybe.
A GoFundMe.
Yeah, yeah. I think a lot of people.
Kickstarter. Or
yeah,
something
yeah.
Like
Kickstarter is a little different, right? That's for businesses. And right. I think GoFundMe is for, like, Mike needs a fucking pallet of Monster.
The model for Kickstarter has changed. I have a friend.
Those Sour Patches. There's a pound of Sour Patches. It's going to be gone in 10 minutes.
My friend Greg Nigro, who
Who?
He got you guys some of the equipment.
Hey, no cussing.
Yeah, well, I don't think we could say that.
Some equipment here in the gym. His company, Vicor, they actually had it wasn't a GoFundMe, it was a Kickstarter campaign for a new product they had coming out, but they couldn't really afford to actually go into full production and make it, so they pre-sold it.
Yeah, yeah.
And they got like, you know, $60,000 to pre-sell their thing, and I think a lot of companies.
But he's not asking for money, so he has gas to go do a seminar.
No. He's just asking
to go make money.
And if they don't, if they don't get the money, the product doesn't
attend
the
seminar. Yeah. What kills me about Kickstarter right now is that there's some cool shit, but it's so far away.
Like
that you're
going to
actually get it in your hands. It's like fuck that.
Sure.
I mean, I like some of the stuff. I would buy it right now. But I don't want to wait
7 years.
Yeah, 2020. Yeah.
I have a friend that just went on there and he's trying to raise, you know, $550,000 for a movie. And I just think that that's like, there's a lot of other ways to get money for a movie. It's too much work. You know, I think that there's a film that I'm doing coming up and we might do a Kickstarter campaign or an Indiegogo campaign to fund like a small part of the film.
Yeah.
But I think to try to get the full thing is just sort of insane.
When's the casting call and how do I try out?
Do you have a casting couch? We're actually doing a documentary on Strongman coming up. And so far MHP is on board.
What, are you a strong guy or something?
I'm not strong.
What are these, strong guys or something?
Yeah. I've always liked the watching the World's Strongest Man competitions. And Martin and I have always enjoyed watching it.
How do we get back to the fucking old school Strongman when it seemed like dudes didn't know what the fuck was happening? And then also they had guys from, like, the NFL and shit. They weren't professional strongmen. Yeah. The professional strongman stuff is awesome. I love watching
it. I don't think
we'll
ever get back to that, though.
God
I think,
damn.
Because
you want J.J. Watt involved?
Yeah. No, I used to love those things. Those are fucking great.
I think you can do offshoots where you do, like, the strongest.
Ken Patera is in there?
I just don't think they'll do it because of liability.
Don Reinhardt?
Imagine if J.J. Watt rips a bicep flipping a tire.
Yeah, but back then they didn't used to care. Like
There was less money, and the guys were probably less regulated. Now, like,
well, before it was a big TV show. That's all it was a big TV show that they would say, okay,
the singlets were on unbelievable.
We're gonna get Lou Ferrigno. We're gonna get Franco Colombo, and you know, I think Franco Colombo was the one that broke his leg, right?
Yeah,
and then our friend Nathan Jones, who was in Mad Max, the big bad guy.
That was a good movie, right?
Yeah, Mad Max was awesome.
That was a good movie.
So in before Mad Max, he was a strong man, and he had broken his arm in an arm wrestling against Magnus
von Magnussen. It's a famous.
No, it wasn't
Magnus Samuelson.
Samuelson. Yeah,
it's a very famous YouTube video. Yeah. Him getting crushed.
Yeah, it's disgusting.
There's all these Magnuses and all these Icelandic giants.
Yeah,
that did dominate that sport.
Did you see?
But that shit was cool back in the day. God damn.
See the video of Hathor fighting.
Oh yeah, that was cool.
Yeah, he was done, like, halfway through, third of the way through. He's like, I want to just hug it out and leave now.
You don't know how big he is. Like, we saw him in person at a restaurant or something. You don't know how big he is until he's up against, McGregor 190 or something?
Conor McGregor is going to
probably 170.
I think he fights at 170, I thought.
I always say Conor McGregor is going to be a huge movie star. After this MMA thing is over, he's a huge star. He has it, like, written all over him, like the way he talks shit and the way he just like his look and the way he acts. He'll be like
he's all fired up.
He'll be like the next Jason Statham, kind of like that foreign guy who's got that
drives
that intangible
in every movie.
Thing. Yeah, I could totally picture him being like James Bond or something in the future. You know,
first Irish James Bond.
Yeah,
I thought that was
he's like Mickey the Pikey.
I thought that was kind of awesome, man. Watching him on The Ultimate Fighter
and like Cody Love almost went at it, right?
Yeah.
But the way
he's being like Ali, like, you know,
and it's funny because him and Uriah Faber throwing jabs back and forth is pretty funny. But it always seems like Conor kind of has the upper hand.
He knows how good he is.
Yeah.
You know,
there's
you know his next fight is not gonna be easy.
No.
I mean, for him to talk shit and to
December,
be able to back it up will
December
be a whole other
12th?
Thing. You know,
December
I think
something?
So. That'll be an awesome fight.
Jose Aldo.
Yeah,
Jose. It's Jose.
Jose is fucking awesome. Whatever he is.
I guess if you're that badass, you can call yourself whatever you want.
I'll call him whatever way he wants me to say it.
Ronda Rousey's November 14th fighting Holly Holm.
Yeah, it's coming up. Yeah,
that fight's over before it started.
Aww.
Yeah,
I think
we just had.
Unfortunately, Ronda Rousey's so goddamn good.
To give it away, we just had Halloween yesterday, and I just saw a bunch of pictures of little girls dressed as Ronda Rousey.
That's
funny.
Cool.
Yeah, bunch of them.
Yeah, one of
that's cool. She's a good inspiration.
My neighbor was dressed as Uriah Faber.
Really?
Yeah.
Girl, guy?
Guy. Yeah, he had his little braids going and just walked around with his shirt off and he had to.
Uriah Faber, he was making fun of Conor and Conor McGregor was like, yeah, you look like a 50-year-old retired skateboarder. And I was like, that's such a great call. I was like, well,
he, awesome.
He was so
unfortunately right about TJ Dillashaw leaving Alpha Male before it happened. He like predicted it.
I think that he pushed that. You
he
know
may
what I mean?
Have.
He was
have.
Like, oh, yeah, TJ, he's the only fight for you. You know, you have nobody else to fight. And I don't know. Maybe that sunk in a little bit. Who knows? You know, who knows what'll happen?
Yeah, well, and I saw a interview with TJ where he said that he just really clicked with Ludwig, and yes. And Ludwig and we'll Faber don't get along anymore. So
yeah. Uriah Faber is like a legend in the sport, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sacramento native, right?
Yeah.
Native
or Ben and Blair actually has like a show this week.
Yeah, he's awesome.
I know he's here.
Uriah Faber's been around forever. And
he went to University of Davis.
Yeah, he went to Lincoln High School.
No matter what happens with him, he's going to go down as a legend of the sport.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Of course.
He was Hall of Famer.
They got a bunch of guys. Millionaire. I mean, obviously TJ has a belt, but they have like Chad Mendes is a stud.
Yeah.
Joseph Benavidez is a stud.
I don't think there were any bad feelings about it. I mean, it sounded like it wasn't. It was apparently a very difficult decision.
That happens all the time,
TJ.
Right?
Yeah.
It does. Oh, yeah. I mean.
It does.
Back to Thor for a second. I saw Thor doing some boxing also, and I just think it's fucking awesome that he's got the guts to do either one of those things. I think also, too, with Conor McGregor, it looks like they're just throwing some body shots and stuff. Who knows if it's a real fight and Thor's allowed to grab a hold of him. Who really knows what will happen? But it is cool to see that MMA can help protect somebody like that well, where one guy can be 400 pounds and the other guy can be 170 pounds.
Yeah.
So I just thought the dynamic of it is cool. But, like, who else has the guts to go do that? I've never seen anybody really do that. I mean, you got Wilt Chamberlain versus Bruce Lee. We haven't seen anything like it since then, you know?
I think that Half Thor was picked up originally by like the Colts or something. Like he was trying
to think
play.
That's a rumor.
Just like a testament to like how hard the NFL was.
He's a great athlete.
No, I think he played pro basketball though over in Iceland.
Yeah,
no
matter what the case, a lot thinner at the time.
Yeah, probably
wasn't as jacked, but they were all basketball players. Brian Shaw was a basketball player. Halfar Bjornsson was a basketball player. And it seems to be like in that sport, being big and tall and having all that leverage is a big advantage, because if you look at like Half Thor and
charity basketball game would be sick.
Dude,
all
a sports
huge guys.
A sports one with like Phil Heath as point guard, Brian Shaw running fucking post.
Yeah, all the strength athletes.
Brian Shaw pulling down the rim.
Dude, it'd be amazing. I'm sure they could still dunk, play a little bit.
Yeah, it'd be sick.
I'm trying to think who else in this sport.
Chad Wesley Smith playing fucking power forward.
That'd be gross.
He could probably
like he goes up in slow motion.
I bet his footwork's all right. I mean, he was a thrower.
Oh, he's probably still really athletic.
Yeah, he might be able to grab a rim or something.
It's like 370 or something.
Just squat at 915 pretty easy.
Yeah, that was amazing. Walked out and everything.
Yeah. He's a guy that
powerlifting's getting ridiculous. Everybody's so big and everybody's so strong.
Yeah.
You know, back in the day when we used to lift, you'd have like there would be like one guy that could maybe do, you know, 900 in a squat suit at a meet.
The amazing thing though is why though. Like, that's the amazing thing is why. Like how come
technology
is. I know why. Yeah, because exactly. Like things progress. Like everything
progresses.
I don't know
though. I don't know if technology's progressed.
It's not technology necessarily for powerlifting, it's just the fact that you said it one day. You said YouTube. You know, people can watch you guys lift, and they can far exceed you guys. Yeah. Like a guy like Brandon Allen told me, he's like, I was watching Bigger, Stronger, Faster, and I thought powerlifting was only something Russians did.
Right.
And that guy is huge. And he was just like, you know, I decided like, hey, if Mark Smelly Bell can do it and Chris can do it, then like I can try a powerlifting meet.
Yeah, I was gonna say our boy.
Now he would kill me.
Right. Yeah, our boy
Hulk. Pick me up and throw me across
Hulk
the room.
Smash started just watching Supertrain.tv.
Right.
And he squats 800. You know, benches 5.
Yeah, I like to.
Yeah, social media is definitely a huge part of it.
Yeah, but it's not technology. I forgot what it was.
It's not money.
I think it was it's not money. And it's not like we have camps or more knowledge.
I just think people are better, like, overall.
Technology in a little bit, just because the internet helps spread
better
information
faster.
But I mean,
faster. It's not like okay.
Accelerated learning.
Like the Reebok shoe is a little bit better than a Chuck or something, but it's not making me squat more.
No, but better.
Right. Rather than there was
like, better everything. You know, when they say, oh, that supplement helps just a little bit, or this helps just a little bit. When we were growing up, we didn't even have protein powder.
Yeah, but I don't drink any protein powder.
Yeah, you're not that strong.
Well, I'm stronger than I was last year.
I'm just kidding.
Well, it's easier for you to get to a powerlifting source now than it used to be.
Right.
You know, whereas like you otherwise like Jesse Norris. He was lucky enough to have a powerlifting coach as a kid.
Right, and it's all going to
the only thing I ever saw, like if I wanted to learn how to squat or deadlift.
And we were lucky we ran into powerlifters at a young age.
Yeah, but the only thing we really ever saw was Ed Cohn in Powerlifting USA and Kirk Kowarski in Powerlifting USA. all we had was a piece of paper that showed a picture of a guy doing it.
Yeah.
We didn't have any way of, like, you had to order a video, and the videos from, like, Louis Simmons were, like, $50.
Now you could fucking tweet one of these motherfuckers, and they'll answer you.
Yeah, literally, yeah. Though, my point is just that there was a TED Talk, and they talked about track and field in particular. I forgot which race it was, but some race where the times from 1920 to now.
Don't get into the races here.
The human race?
Yeah.
Racist.
The times were night and day.
Yeah, the guy in the 1920s would have a similar time to Usain Bolt.
If he had the same shoes and the same track. Maybe not Usain Bolt, because there's obviously outliers. But the times were mostly different because of the shoes, and they were running on, like, cement, where now they're running on this fancy clay, the wind conditions, the stadium's blocking the wind or some bullshit, rather than, like, powerlifting.
Designer steroids.
Yeah. Well, they talked about steroids a little bit. But rather than powerlifting, the only thing like that is squat suits, obviously.
Yeah.
I think because powerlifting went through a phase where it evolved for a long time, and then it went backwards.
Yeah, it got too
in a huge
different.
Way because, and what I mean by backwards is the raw powerlifting went backwards because the geared powerlifting was taken over.
No one was doing
those are two separate things. They're separate forms of strength. Yeah. They are not related to each other.
And we got powerlifters eating Sour Patch Kids on the podcast.
It's live on the air.
Talking about devolving into nothing.
I had kind of what I think is a pretty good insight about powerlifting the other day. I was listening to a podcast talking about car racing, and it was a particular race where, you know, it's sort of gentleman drivers. It's not anybody. It's no team stuff. There's not a lot of there's almost no prize money associated with it. You might just get a trophy or whatever. And the guy was saying in races like that, it's all ego. It's completely ego driven because there's no money in it at all.
Right.
And that's powerlifting. So the reason that we have, you know, 45 different federations is that it's all purely ego and everybody has to fucking win. Mm-hmm. And so they have to create a new federation in which they can win.
Yeah.
And somebody else cannot
I
control
got a little
them
announcement.
With rules.
There's the Silent Mike Federation. We're going to run our first meet.
Anyways.
And none of you can compete but me.
I think even on a more positive note, though, the ego side of it is also driving the numbers a little bit, where someone
right.
does
exactly.
a 9:15 squat like Chad Wesley Smith did, and then somebody else is like, oh, shit, he did that, walked out. He did that to fucking perfect depth. Like, now I'm going to see if I can fucking do it, or I one day aspire to do that.
Right.
Way.
Everybody wants to be the strongest guy. Like, whatever level you're at powerlifting, people go, oh, I just do it for fun. They're really aspiring to do the best that they can to get to the top. You know,
right.
So you look at the guys
you
at the top.
You ain't doing shit for fun.
Yeah.
And that's what you're saying.
Yeah, no, I know. That's what I'm saying. Like, there's nothing fun about it.
You're not doing it for Instagram likes?
Oh, I just do it for fun. It's like there's no fun in you know.
Mike does it for likes because likes equal.
Cash money.
Cash money, fool. What's up now?
Yeah.
It's all about the green. Greenbacks.
It's all about the thumbs up.
Get fired.
What's up with the strong movie? Tell us more about the strong movie.
So basically what happened is my friend Justin came to me. He's like, hey, we should do a documentary on.
Is he from Boston?
Yeah, he's from Boston.
Oh, my God.
Now he lives in Tennessee. But he, you know, he's got some good inroads with all these guys and he's talking to these guys. And he said, we should do a documentary on this. So we were just trying to figure out, like, what would the story be? Is it just like go and, you know, talk to a bunch of strongmen and show the history of the sport and what it was? And what I came up with him, which we collaborated on, was sort of like, what if we did like a pumping iron, like, or a generation iron in the world of strongman? Because it's such a cool sport and you see all these guys and they're gigantic and they're really kind of interesting to watch, but you have no idea what's behind the scenes with these guys.
If they
hate
each other or not.
Not even if they hate each other, just like they probably, I would imagine they probably all get along pretty well, but like
what's going on in their everyday lives? What do they do?
Who are they? How does Brian Shaw like fit in a normal car and how does he do normal things every day? You know? How do these guys live and who are they? And just, you know, it's something that I've always admired and looked up to and it's something that I want to go take a look at and give a slice of life to the whole world. And I think that outside of our community of powerlifting and strongman and CrossFit and all these things, just the general public is going to be like, holy shit. Like,
no.
this is an awesome film. And the way that we're going to shoot it is going to be, you know, is going to make it that way as well. Like, we're going to basically bring in some really good cinematographers and shoot this in a way that's going to be very exciting and very just fun to watch. You know, it's like everything I do is controversial.
We dropped out somehow.
Hey now.
Are we still
did we all drop out?
We might be tracking on there, though.
Yeah, we're still recording. I don't know what the hell.
We just can't hear each other. But we can keep going. Are you leading up to are you leading up to any particular event, kind of like pumping iron, or are you just falling around?
Well, it's going to depend on we're trying to raise money right now. And depending on sort of like when we get the money is sort of like what we're going to follow.
Yeah, figure
like,
the plan.
Yeah, I mean, we've been talking about like, okay, let's lead up to the Arnold, and we have full access to shoot at the Arnold. And I guess there might be some problems with shooting World's Strongest Man, but I never look at those things. I never look at the negative things. I always look at like, well, let's just do it the best we can, however we can figure it out. So
no clue.
We're working on figuring that out right now.
Yeah. Yeah, the Arnold's supposed to be one of the best visually. I mean, I haven't really seen any live.
Actually, the Arnold is stronger.
Yeah, it's heavier.
As far as everything's heavier than the World's Strongest Man competition.
That's because they're on stage. They only have like 60 feet to work with. Rather than World's Strongest Man, you're outside. They have yards
and
yards.
And it's weird how different people are good in different different events.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, they have this giant frame that weighs like 900 pounds, and the guys would pick it up, and they walk up a ramp, and I remember, like, the last Arnold, like, Brian Shaw couldn't do it, and Zvjunas Vikas couldn't do it. But Jerry Pritchett, who's, like, kind of middle of the pack
all the time. Yeah, but he's a pretty good deadlifter.
Yeah, middle of the pack all the time. He just took that thing and went right up to the top, and he won that event. So it's kind of interesting that, like, everybody's good at different
Well, it's interesting.
It's crazy, yeah, when one guy can't pick it up at all, then another guy runs across the stage with it or something.
Well, Jerry Pritchett deadlifts, like, 925 or something crazy. But Brian has done a
975, yeah.
975, you know, something like that with straps, you know. Yeah. But
what's interesting to me about some of these sports like that, or even CrossFit, or I don't even know if you call it a sport, because the activities are different every single time. It's more of like an event or a competition, because like basketball is a sport, right? There's these rules, and it's always like that. Powerlifting is kind of like that, even though there is monolifts and deadlift bars. Maybe it's more of a competition. Baseball's always the fucking same. Even baseball's a little weird, right? Because a stadium could matter, like fucking walls a different height here. Like,
right.
That's kind of different.
And American League versus National League.
Right. Basketball, football, soccer is always like this, right? It's black and white. Yeah, like where this sport, like, there's overhead pressing. Fuck it. I'm not going to that competition. I suck at overhead pressing. Well, this one has a yoke. I own
it's
yokes.
It's more of a cumulative thing. Like that, they add up the points just like CrossFit or anything else. So like, I think it is a sport, but it's like, it's just a different type of sport where there's all these different little competitions that lead up to one big title.
But what I mean is like World's Strongest Man.
It's hard to compare one year to the next if they do different things.
No, even one competition to the next, because like yoke is kind of known for strongman or farmer's carry, but there could be a strongman competition and there's no yoke or farmer's carry.
The argument against that would simply be that a lot of times you're seeing multiple time champions. Like in CrossFit, you have Rich Froning won 4 years straight. So if things are that vastly different, then how did he win 4 years straight? You know, sometimes they'll say, oh, this one's curtails to this guy a little bit more. This one was custom made for this guy.
I'm just saying potentially it could be. Like we could have a strongman competition here, and all it is it could be close grip bench
and
500 for...
There's really good stories within strongman, too, of how these guys, you know, we were talking about like it being ego-driven, but how these guys got into the sport. Like Brian Shaw was, I think he was going to play at Arizona State or something like
basketball
that.
Basketball or something like that.
And he went to a strength and conditioning seminar. And Bert Soren was there from Soren, you know, this guy that started.
Soren X.
Is he the father? What's the father's name?
I don't know the difference between the two names.
Yeah, so anyway, the father, the older one.
With the mustache.
With the big mustache. He was there. And they had a Thomas Inch dumbbell, which is a 3-inch thick handle.
Right.
It's like a Coke can.
3 inches, that's pretty big, huh?
Hey now. And
beer can
3 inches around
diameter.
Yeah, and it weighs 172 pounds. And they said like only six people have ever like been able to grab this and put it over their head. So I think Brian Shaw came along. This article is actually in the New Yorker if you want to look it up. Brian Shaw came along and grabbed it and picked it up over his hand. And it was over his head and sort of was like, well, what's so hard about that?
Yeah.
And at the time he was 6'8", 315. Now I think he's 415 or 420.
Yeah.
And it was like basically the guy, you know, chased him down and said, what are you doing? You have to do, you know.
The hell's going on?
Yeah. If, like, screw football.
It's
like
he picked up Thor's hammer, right?
Yeah. Exactly. Like, what's the big deal? You know, so that's how Brian got into it. And then if you look at like, Hafþór Bjørnson, he was, like, into basketball, but he was also really strong. And, you know, when basketball sort of gave up, he got into it. Eddie Hall said that he was, when he was 6 years old, he was watching it with his father. And he said, I'm going to do that one day. And it kind of reminds me of our brother Mad Dog, who, when he was 6 years old, my dad brought him to a wrestling event.
Yeah.
Said, one day I'm going to do that. So he said, fast forward 25 years or however long it was, 20 years, and he was sitting at Christmas in his house in England, and there he is on the World's Strongest Man because they pre-tape it, and he's watching it with his parents, and his parents are both crying, and he's crying and watching it. And then he's like, but I'm going to win one day. One of these days I'm going to win that. Because he didn't win. So he's done really well, but he hasn't won yet. So that's like a really good story.
Yeah, he's pretty goddamn fired up. I wouldn't put it past him.
He's amazing. I mean, he looks like a, to me, he always looks like a James Bond bad guy with that scar down his eye. He has like this awesome look. He's just a, and he's got a personality too. He's really interesting to listen to. And
what's amazing about Strongman is the hurdle that you have of even just participating in it, like even just figuring out how to do it. Like,
it's not very common.
Yeah, it's not very common. So to even try to find somebody else that does it is kind of hard. You can go to like CrossFits and you can find yokes and you can find some different things. You can find some farmer implements or you can use dumbbells or whatever.
Make them yourself or find somebody to make them for you.
A lot of the gyms are like in people's garages.
Yeah. But yeah, what freaks me out is like just imagine if the hurdle for you to, let's say, go swimming in the morning was you had to open up, you know, you had to open up the gate, unlock it, you had to clean it, you had to, you know, get the pH balance all right and everything before you swim.
Right.
That's like what these guys are doing. They're getting these, like, these fucking sharp, gigantic metal and rock and all these things out of these storage sheds.
Yeah, it's probably so annoying.
Like, oh, we got to use a stone to say, oh, well, it's behind the farmer's carry and it's behind that, it's behind that, it's behind that. It's like even the act of like getting the shit out of the shed and being able to train with it,
even
it's fucking hard.
Yeah, even to find the right barbell for me right now to put it on the rack I want to use is so annoying sometimes. Yeah. I got to walk across the gym like, fuck, which barbell.
Think about if you walk in and 405 is 405 is left on the squat rack that you want to use.
Yeah,
you got to change the weight. You got to change the bar. You're like, fuck that. I'm just going home.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's funny because we went to me and my buddy Leland. Who's
some of these motherfuckers have the Conan wheel. I've seen them do it in a fucking cul-de-sac. The fucking a Conan wheel. You know that thing where you carry a Zercher squat and you're fucking walking? It's like unbelievable. Who the fuck drags that out on a Saturday morning?
So me and Leland went to that place, Boston Barbell, in Attleboro, where he's from.
Oh, that kid's got everything.
And everyone said that place is dope.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's like a little tiny garage, but it has like everything in it. You know, it's probably about the size of the old Super Training. And he had all these strongman implements. He had like the, you know, the Atlas stones and all these things. And by the time me and Leland left, we were trying out all the things. You know that giant thing that's shaped like Africa, that big stone?
Yeah, it's an odd object.
The Atlas stone or whatever?
Yeah,
I think it's called
the Roosevelt stone.
Oh, it's just odd object.
We were carrying that thing, and we were both so bloody when we got done. I was like, and it was, you know, it's really hard. And Leland's huge. He's like 6'8", you know, 300
pounds.
That's the
guy I'm going to dunk on, right?
Yeah, you're going to dunk on him. So he picked it right up. It was pretty easy because he had a good leverage. And he picked it right up. For me, I was holding it, and it's like smashing me in the dick the whole time.
So it was extra fun.
Yeah, it was really a lot of fun. But, I mean, we left there. We were all bloody, and we're like, fuck that sport, man. That's, like, so hard. You know, I can't imagine how these guys are able to do it, and they do it with such ease.
Yeah, it's something like I would have to do in high school. Like, high school, you have a different mentality. Like, I don't give a fuck if my shins are beat up. Like, even now in powerlifting, I wear, like, a sleeve on my ankle because I don't want to fucking scratch up my deadlift.
In the finals of the World's Strongest Man, Brian Shaw's picking up these 300-pound stones and putting them up on these, you know, on these barrels.
Yeah.
And he's doing it. Like, it looks like it's a basketball. It's like, just puts it. And it's like the technique and the size and the strength is so kind of amazing.
Yeah,
and
the speed at which they do it.
And you see him do it, and then you see, I think, like, Eddie Hall kind of bombed out on it. He could actually
be shorter.
Like pretty could have won, but he flubbed a couple of them. And we see when they drop it how heavy it actually is.
What about when they throw the kegs over top of that fucking thing? It's like, you know, Brian Shaw makes it just look like it weighs nothing.
Must have been great in high school, throwing a keg, you know, finish a keg, just throw it over the woods.
Yeah,
just chuck it. Find it.
Wait,
chuck
I got a deposit fucking, on that.
Yeah.
Chuck it into outer space.
I'd be great if you were a cop and come and throw your kegs away.
Yeah, exactly.
So how long will it be to work on this movie? How long do you think it's going to take?
You know, all these things take forever. That's how I've been kind of quiet about, like, really talking about it because I like to just have it come out. You know, here you go, boom. And
all right, well, you got something else coming out, right? You got Prescription Thugs coming out.
Prescription Thugs comes out January 22nd, and you know, that was a
idea where it's going to be released, or is that like a debut of it?
January 22nd will be released worldwide, so it'll be worldwide on iTunes. It'll also be in 10 cities theatrically. And you know, that movie was an awesome experience for me because it got me sober. It got me, you know, to a place that I thought I would never get to. So I've been a year and a half sober now.
Wait, this is you sober?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
What do we get into?
A little monster, but that's about it.
You know what cities? Just major cities, probably? San Francisco,
major,
L.A.
Yeah, major cities like Sacramento.
Poughkeepsie.
You know.
Stockton.
They'll hit Po-Town.
Yeah, Poughkeepsie,
sure.
Maybe. Sure. All those major cities.
Wherever Pfizer's located.
Exactly. Yeah. People are like, aren't you worried that you'll, you know, get killed for doing a movie like this? And, like, to me, like, that would be the best thing that could ever happen against prescription drugs. It's like, oh, they killed the guy that made the movie, you know?
Yeah.
People are like, you're crazy. And I'm like, what? Who cares? Fuck it. You know, like,
I wanted to kill you before the podcast.
Yeah, no, exactly.
They think the prescription...
See, that would be for no reason.
Oh, okay.
They think this prescription thugs mafia is going to come kill you or something?
Yeah, that's what they think.
Really?
But there's actually a woman in the movie where I say, she was a pharmaceutical rep and now she speaks out against him. I said, aren't you afraid that they'll kill you? And she said, no, I'm afraid they'll kill you and you and you and you. And I'll still be sitting here screaming from the mountaintop. That,
yeah.
You know,
nobody will be listening to me.
Yeah, nobody will be listening.
Yeah, all my credibility is gone because these...
I just posted on Instagram today. My mom went to the doctor and she got
a
prescription, right? And it's for it's actually for like metformin, you know, but that can do a lot of stuff to your blood
carbohydrate
sugar.
Partitioning,
yeah.
Basically.
Yeah, actually, I was like, give me some of that. I
mean, yeah, exactly. You know.
Yeah, it's used by bodybuilders and stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Dan
body
Shane,
composition changes.
Dan Duchesne used to talk about metformin all the time. So she got this thing, and the doctor, she's like, is it safe? And the doctor's like, oh, absolutely, it's safe. Just here, get the drug and read the insert. She opens up the insert, and it's the size of like a beach towel.
It's as tall as she is.
Yeah. And, well,
I'll
and
throw
then,
this picture in on the video.
Yeah, and then she flips it around, and it's like front and back, all this information about this drug, and it's all technical, and you can't understand it.
Right.
You know, so that was a prescription thugs moment
for
me.
Mom, did you get me my metformin?
Yeah.
I got to take my pulse workout.
Yeah, exactly.
So your mom's trying to get jacked?
I don't know what she's trying to do. I think she's trying to... regulate her blood sugar for some reason, you know?
Yeah, just, you know, like to live.
Yeah.
Yeah. Something like that. Yeah.
Some sort of diabetic, you know, problem.
Something or other's going on.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah, you know, I used to think that those things were actually written by, like, some third party, and they're not. They're all written by the pharmaceutical companies.
Oh, no, and all the medical journals are written by the pharmaceutical companies.
Right.
So when you have people reference to go, oh, I got this information from the New York, you know, from the New England Journal of Medicine. I'm like, yeah, well, yeah, that's written by the pharmaceutical company, so it's really hard to find unbiased information.
Yeah, people talk about, I don't know, the PDR. It's the physician's desk reference. It's sure. Just all of those inserts published in one
basically.
Book.
Yeah.
Well, I don't even know if they're
making
a book anymore.
The
but.
Drug company Merck had a book like this thick, and it's a pharmaceutical. I think that's what it is, right?
Yeah.
You can go through and find out, like, if you have a disease or a problem, like what drug you should take.
Right,
and that's,
exactly. Yeah.
That's that book, and it's written by Big Pharma. You know,
exactly.
So it's hard to find. And it's the same with the psych meds. The psych meds, they have like a book for psychiatrists and psychologists how to treat people, and it's just a book that basically tells you, you know, they don't know enough about the brain to be able to prescribe you medicine for your brain that they know.
They don't know shit about my brain.
That they know exactly what it's going to do.
Right.
So, it, you know, with that stuff, it gets kind of dangerous.
Well, and the problem is I think that people are they're not being watched enough. They're not connected enough to a support system. So when they start having different side effects from these psych drugs, then, you know, they can fall off the rails very quickly. And,
yeah, and I think it works for some people. Some people take it and they just say, you know, you'll see a guy go crazy and I'll be like, well, what happened to him? Like, oh, he's off his meds. So the meds actually, you know, will definitely suppress a lot of feelings, which I don't think is good. But if that works for somebody from going crazy, then I guess it's good, you know.
Yeah.
You said this movie helped save your life. Why is the movie important for other people to see?
I think a lot of people are just blind to the fact, you know, you go to a doctor and they prescribe you something and you take it. And I've actually myself been looking for other ways to fix things. You know, through this movie, I think that people will start searching out their own information, start searching out answers and other things you can do. I just went to a doctor.
Silent Mike mentioned shoving stuff up his ass earlier.
That was called blooping?
Blooping.
Yeah, no, that's
not. That's not involved?
That's not what I'm talking about.
You don't recommend that.
No, I don't recommend blooping at all.
Dr. Bell doesn't recommend blooping.
No, but I went to a doctor the other day, and he said, what you need is a full-body MRI. And so that's $520 to get the full, you know, because I have arthritis in my knees and my hips and my ankles and all those things.
You got that inflamed dick.
I think it's like $700 actually for that MRI. And so
of your whole body.
My buddy, that's Jimmy, awesome. Jimmy Bluff, who worked on you.
And comparing it to what other MRI?
Yeah.
What body is like, hey, guess what? You're fucked.
My buddy who does advanced muscle reconstruction, he calls it. It's like, you know, body work. He just said to me, well, what are you going to do? You're going to go in and get that MRI and then do what? They're just going to have permission to give you surgery. So if you're in pain, you know, we can work on that. There's other things that we can do. And there's a lot of people out there that can do a lot of stuff like ART and massage therapy and a lot of things that can help get you out of pain. And it's like not always permanent, but I think it's like good to search for other solutions because a pill is always just going to be a Band-Aid. It's not a cure for anything.
Right. Yeah, I think
there's no medicine is really a cure except for vaccines, and the vaccines are basically they're subsidized by the government.
You know, and vaccines make your body They give it the ability to fight.
Yeah, exactly.
That's cliche, but it's true, right? We need to fix what's going on rather than just try to mask the problem.
It's very cliche, but people like to mask the problem.
But I don't know what you would want to know from a full body MRI. Like I saw the other day that there's a new blood test that they think will be available in the next 5 years or so. Well, they'll be able to detect 97% of cancers. Oh. So like from a drop of blood, they'll find out if you have whatever kind of cancer. Do you want to know that?
Yeah, maybe not.
You're asymptomatic.
Can I do something with it?
It's not changing your life in any way at all right now, and maybe it's not curable. Do you want to know? Yeah. I don't want to know.
Yeah, where is it?
What?
Well, I think like I said, like finding all like alternative ways to fix things without drugs is probably a much better way to go. Like my back hurts, but like I weigh too much.
My back.
You know, my knees hurt. Well, I weigh
spinal.
A little too much. And yes, I have arthritis, and there's ways to fix that through surgery, but you know, there's also ways to prolong the surgery and make so you're living without pain and be able to like get to the point where maybe if you need the surgery, it's more down the road and not right away.
You say, you're saying that you're looking for alternatives because it almost took your life in several different ways.
Wait, alternative
times.
Lifestyle?
Alternative lifestyle.
Yeah, I'm looking for an alternative
but,
lifestyle.
But are other people looking for a fucking excuse to be high? Like, because in your movie, it mentions.
Yeah, I was. I mean, I was.
It's irresponsible of people, I think, to blame the pharmaceutical companies too much because in your movie, it kind of talks about how restless leg syndrome and some of these weird fucking things that you get.
Yeah, stop being a pussy.
Yeah, well, some of these weird things. Hold on. Some of these weird things that you have happened to you, those things are marketed and they have commercials for those things, but they don't have commercials for OxyContin.
No, because it works.
Right.
You know?
Right.
It,
I know.
It actually really works. So
yeah, there was some med last night.
And it is irresponsible, the doctor, to give, like, a kid who comes in, he got rotator cuff surgery, he's 16, he plays baseball, just to dump, some crazy-ass strong drug on the kid. I think that is irresponsible and not explaining what it does. And
well, now they can give it to 11-year-olds.
Yeah.
They can give OxyContin to 11-year-olds. So, Jake, your son is 11. If Jake got hurt in baseball and you didn't know any better.
Right.
And he broke his ankle or something, say, slide into home base, and they give him, he goes home and they give him OxyContin. Well, the pharmaceutical company is saying, well, that's not why we did that. We're doing that for extreme pain, for like cancer. But we all know why they do it, because that's going to bleed over into sports injuries like that, where they're oh, hey, give them OxyContin. Imagine your kid getting addicted to OxyContin at like 11 years old, even if they do have cancer. The pharmaceutical company will blast like medical marijuana and say, well, that's not, you can't give that to an 11-year-old because they did that medical marijuana thing for the kid that had all the seizures and they got better. And they don't want you to do that because they don't make money on that.
But at the same time, you're talking about with cancer, at the same time, there are a lot of doctors that won't put someone who has less than 6 months to live into a hospice program because they're going to give them drugs for the pain.
Right.
And they're going to get addicted to drugs. But they're going to die anyway.
Yeah, at that point, it doesn't matter, I think.
It doesn't matter, right? but you see so much of that. It's ridiculous.
I think there's two different conversations going on. One's like, all right, you break your leg, you need to go to the doctor. Okay, you find out you have cancer, you need to go to the doctor, and something needs to be done.
Sure.
Whether it's oxycodone or your hip surgery, right? Your hip's fucked. You have to... And then there's the other side, like, do you have erectile dysfunction? Do you have gas and bowel problems? Oh, this is the commercial I saw last night. You have gas or IBS, like your stomach hurts? Like, yeah, my stomach hurts when I eat a shit ton of ice cream, you stupid fuck.
It was
like,
on during the World Series, wasn't it?
Maybe, yeah. And so these things can be fixed by, like, diet and exercise, hands down. Maybe some cancers can be fixed with diet and exercise. Maybe. Maybe your hip could have been done better. Maybe you were born with it. Who knows? Maybe it's Maybelline. But... The point is like there is a place for meds, right? You'll agree with that.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a huge place for
meds. And then obviously the industry, like every other industry, fitness industry, takes advantage of those things.
If you look at it, you pretty much shouldn't be on a drug, some sort of drug every day.
And you shouldn't be on 10 of them.
Every day for the rest of your life.
And you shouldn't be on 10 of them, right?
There's not really a lot of drugs that you should be on every day.
If you have blood pressure, diabetes, this and that, how do you fix those things? Most of those things are reversible.
The commercial that you're talking about is for people that are on opioids, right?
Yeah,
maybe.
If you're on opioid drugs, like if you're on
so you're on one drug and they want you to take another one.
You're constipated from your pain meds.
That's a great commercial.
And then you're on pain meds because you have diabetes and your back hurts because you're fucking fat. And then your fucking hip hurts.
I eat because I'm sad. I'm sad because I eat.
You pointed at me. It's like, you're fat.
It's a vicious cycle. Yeah. Fat bastard understands it.
Yeah. Fat bastard has that shit down.
I quit.
But you know, the thing is that you're right. There is two different conversations. There's people that are using drugs because they want to use drugs. Like, they want a quick fix. They want to know,
right?
You know,
because like, they're pussies, huh?
Yeah, I don't know about that. They're marketed to very well.
I know, but I think there's some people too that like stub their toe and like, fuck, I better go to the doctor. Like, fuck you.
But
dude,
when they came out with restless leg syndrome, I'm like, dude, I have that. I totally have that. But the thing is, I was drinking like 6 shots of espresso. You know, Americano, which was 6.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Are you saying Starbucks gave you restless leg syndrome?
Well, I was drinking it like 2 hours before I went to bed. 2 hours before I went to bed. Of course I have, you know, I want to kick somebody in the face. Yeah. Like, you know, it's because...
That's what restless leg syndrome is? You want to kick someone in the face?
Well, now your legs just
twitch.
I
have that too.
Your legs just twitch.
What about restless dick like, syndrome?
Yeah, I never had that.
Yeah, everyone's got evil erectile
dick.
Dysfunction.
That's called blue balls, isn't it?
Evil dick.
Evil dick.
Called. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, evil dick?
Yeah, look it up.
What about a, like, not evil dick, like a superhero dick?
I know.
Oh, you mean like a good guy dick?
Yeah, I got the good dick.
Condom that comes with a little thing.
Does the good dick or the evil dick kill the pussy?
It tries to.
Your dick looks like Darth Vader.
Yeah.
You don't say, oh, really?
All right.
Wait, the new Darth Vader's all grizzled?
No, who is that?
Absolutely.
I don't know.
That's like Darth Vader had sex with Bane. That's
what do you guys think of the new Star Wars?
Oh, I'm stoked.
We're not far enough in the future to
Kylo
see
Ren.
It.
Okay, who,
Kylo Ren.
Who
Kylo
thinks
Ren.
It's going to be good? Who thinks it's going to be bad?
I don't know if it'll be good or bad, but I'm going to fucking love it either way.
Here's why I think it's going to not be that good, because I just think there's going to be a lot of like fighting and a lot of fucking them fighting with their fucking swords and shit and them shooting laser beams.
You don't think the story will
it'll be
as quality?
Yeah, 2.5 hours long, so we got to be ready for that.
I need more story. I need more feeling behind it.
But didn't he write all the sagas at the same time?
Yeah, but I think also Lawrence Kasdan.
I think it's a fucking lie
for this. And Lawrence Kasdan was part of the screenplay for Indiana Jones and Empire Strikes Back.
So that's pretty good.
Silverado.
Imagine
one of the best
if you
westerns
wrote
fucking ever.
Yeah. So Lawrence Kasdan, they have a good shot at making it.
Imagine if he wrote the greatest movie trilogy of all time, and then people are like, "Oh man, that was so awesome." Do you have any other ones? He's like, "Yeah, sure.
Maybe.
Actually, there's 3 before it and 3 after it. As a matter of fact,
some people just
but
quit,
he
though.
Also came up with Indiana Jones.
Yeah,
you know that.
But that
George Lucas has an amazing
and
mind.
Spielberg.
Yeah.
Though.
And then when he had kids, it was like, okay, now I got to make these movies for my kids, and then they all sucked.
But didn't he write these Star Wars in like college?
Yeah, yeah, USC.
Yeah. Oh,
the George Lucas Film School.
Whoa.
Boom.
His name's on the building.
Yeah.
So you don't think it'll be good, Boar?
I think it'll be okay. I think it'll be okay.
So the first... okay, so I'm a fan of all 6. Obviously, the old 3 are by far better films. I like just the storyline. I like sci-fi shit. The new 3, like my generations, they sucked because of the acting. They sucked because of
special
effects were like the same level, even though some were in the 70s and these were in like the 2000s.
Now, here's the problem with the new ones is that they... The new ones were supposed to be before the old ones.
Yeah.
And the very first Star Wars was very basic, very simple. And it should have been back before that, and it should be even simpler, right? But it was way more advanced. There was all like millions of robots coming down and all these different things.
Yeah.
That's supposed to take place before this.
Right.
Where, I don't give a fuck about those robots.
No, their story. Yeah, that's part of the story, though, is that the robots were shit, and they had to go to clone humans. That's part of the fucking genius.
Yeah, but it wasn't. I didn't think
that's part of the genius, saying that technology isn't the go-to.
Right.
You're missing the fucking point.
No.
I need to go to teach at
the
USC.
Phantom, the Phantom Menace was terrible.
It was. That's because Anakin's
movie.
A puss. They made Anakin a puss. That's why.
Yeah,
and Jar Jar Binks a retard.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't like those prequels at all. I wasn't like a big fan.
I only liked the last one, and I didn't like it that much.
The last one was okay, but when Darth Vader
was
like in pieces on a volcano or whatever, it was kind of weird, you know.
Some of the stuff's pretty good in those movies. There's some good scenes to each one of them, I think.
I just love it because of Star Wars.
Yeah,
it's not a good movie.
I like some of it too. Yeah.
Well, I think the new one, it's like it's gonna be hard to please everybody, right?
So, no, everyone's gonna hate it.
You think everybody's gonna hate
Everyone's gonna hate it. That's just like the new 3. That's kind of like
you're building up for disappointment, kind of.
Everyone.
Well, you have an hour of previews coming your way at least, and then you have a 2.5 hour film.
Yeah.
Most people are going to be pretty restless.
But like,
talk about restless leg syndrome. Yeah.
The kids will hate it because there's a Star Wars cartoon out right now. The kids right now don't even know Star Wars.
Yeah.
They know
the
Star Wars cartoon, so they're going to fucking hate it because it's different. Your generation's going to hate it because it's not the fucking original.
I'm hoping to like it.
You're going hipster on me, Boar.
Why?
You're going to hate it because it's not the original. Like,
no.
Oh,
I'm not going to hate it because it's not the original.
I only liked Eminem. You didn't know who Eminem was.
I like the way the new one looks.
The preview's dope, right?
It looks a lot like the old one.
Right.
But the latest preview, seemed a little weak compared to the first one
was dope.
Was kind of awesome, and then the second one was the newer one.
It's like too much reveal without revealing actually anything at all.
Yeah, kind of like that.
Yeah. Well, my thing with J.J. Abrams, he was the big Star Wars fan, not a big Star Trek fan, but he's the guy who rebooted Star Trek.
First one was good. Second one was kind of lame.
The second one sucked balls.
Yeah, all those lens flares. If that's in Star Wars, I'm out.
Oh, they're in there. You've seen them in the trailer.
Yeah, I'm out. fucking special effects lens flares.
Yeah. They're not even special. Not all of them are special effects. Because he's actually like shakes the camera and has somebody stand off camera with them.
Well, you saw Super 8. That was a good movie. That was J.J. Abrams.
Super 8 was pretty good.
It was only sort of good.
It wasn't that good.
What about
really
The Martian?
Wasn't that good. It ended dumb.
The Martian?
You didn't like The Martian?
That's not J.J. Abrams.
I just like The Martian. It was the latest movie I've seen.
I like The Martian a lot.
Everybody else liked it. I didn't like the ending. I liked the movie. I didn't like
I hated the ending. I'm with you on it. He gets a job at NASA and he's like doing a seminar or something. It's like, what the fuck is that?
I ignore all that.
Fucking terrible.
I've been to Mars and now I'm going to do a seminar.
What the fuck?
The book ends with him in the ship. And in fact, he makes a joke.
It should have ended right there, though.
He makes a joke in the book about, like, if this was a movie, everybody would be in the same room at the same time and everyone would be crying and laughing and, you know, all this stuff. And that's exactly what they did in the movie.
Well, he should have ended like that because that's actually a better ending. And it'd be funny and ironic if he said if this was a movie, because it is a movie.
Yeah, exactly.
So they didn't want to go that route.
But him, like, being funny and, like, making water out of shit and stuff.
Yeah.
That entertained me.
And him blowing himself up was great.
Amazing.
He's like, they don't know what they're talking about the fire.
I saw that movie and I saw The Walk in the same week, and I felt like they were they were interesting in that fact that The Martian.
I never saw The Walk. What is that?
The Martian was awesome all the way through, and then the ending was kind of eh. And then The Walk was shitty all the way through, and the end was like one of the most insane things I've ever seen on film.
I just can't pay $20 to go to a movie where the preview is someone walking on a tightrope. I'll watch it on DVD.
Across the World Trade Center.
I know, but I'm just saying, you know, like, I'm like, okay, this is going
to
be really slow.
I couldn't watch the trailer in the theaters. I had to turn my eyes away.
Yeah, I had to turn away because I saw it in IMAX 3D, and The Walk is about the guy who walked, Philip Petit, who walked across the... a tightrope.
He's not that big, I heard.
Yeah. Across the World Trade Centers. Now, that guy is one of the it's inspirational. It's like, who the fuck would do it? You know,
yeah, what a
we talk
job.
About, like, no money in it and no...
Yeah.
Like, there's... And it wasn't like somebody set that tightrope up. It was like a heist movie. They had to break into the World Trade Center. They took 3 years to figure it out, to lay it out. And then when they shot the arrow across to get, like, shoot a little string across, it just teetered, you know, on the edge. And they had to walk out to the edge
of
the building.
You know what? That's good enough.
Yeah. And
that looks
grab
fine.
It.
That looks fine.
And grab a string and pull, you know, pull it back in. Then they had to attach a rope, a thin rope to a string, and then a thicker rope, and keep going back and forth, back and forth. When you see him doing this shit just to get this cable up there, and then the guy takes the first step on the cable, I'm like, I was so...
My feet are sweating right now talking about it.
Dude, it's fucking crazy.
It just scares the shit out of me.
I just woke up from a nap.
Those buildings aren't even standing anymore, and it scares the shit out of me.
My butthole's wet, but it's been wet the whole
time. If anybody wants to see the real story, watch the documentary Man on Wire, which in 2008 was at Sundance when we were there with Bigger, Stronger, Faster. And that movie...
Man on the Wire, isn't Goldie Hawn in that?
Man on Wire. No, it's Bird on Wire.
Oh, never mind.
Man on Wire is an amazing documentary, and it won... It won an Oscar for Best Picture that year. Best documentary.
Yeah.
Going back to Star Trek for just a second.
Trek or Wars?
Trek.
I'm out.
Well, no, you're not out because I'm going to loop you back
Klingon,
in just a second.
Klingon.
I don't know. No, so people.
I don't know anything about Star Trek either.
A lot of people who are really big, you know, hardcore Star Trek fans hated the rebooted movies because they were different. And the same thing's going to happen with Star Wars.
Yeah.
This movie's going to come out.
Everyone's
a lot of people are going to hate it.
Okay, listen. If you guys think I'm going to hate it, like he wants to go hipster on me, I already have fucking tickets for it.
That's what I'm talking about, Boar. Yeah.
I already have fucking tickets. So if you want to say that, I'm going in wanting to like it.
I'm going in dressed as Yoda.
I have tickets
Yoda's
for
not even in the movie.
The day before it even opens.
I do. I try to go. But then I was like, in L.A., they have movie theaters where you pick your seats. We don't have that shit.
I pick my seat all the time.
Yeah, we don't have that shit. We don't.
So you're going to spend up sitting in the back.
So I didn't want to go.
IMAX.
If you're a real fan, you'd travel to L.A. to see it.
I'm going to go Monday and fucking take up a whole row by myself. I'm going to bring a fucking barbecue in there and fucking tailgate.
Something insane is as soon as they announced it, like I'm such a film nerd that I have like Fandango or whatever. They send me a
text. It crashed.
Yeah, they send me a text and they're like, Star Wars tickets are out. So I go on and I try like three or four different theaters and they're all sold out already. I'm going, what?
There were tickets available up here, but then I thought, I was like, fuck, I won't be happy.
I finally got them for a theater I never go to. The only movie I saw at that theater at the Grove was
now you're gonna get shot.
The Dark Knight Rises. Yeah, and that's what I was like. Yeah. Whoa, Dark Knight Rises.
Do you like that movie?
I love that movie.
That was a good movie. All right, cool. Yeah.
Except for when he's like bouncing a nuclear bomb down the street.
Yeah, oh, that's a little weird.
A little bit.
But
wild,
I hated that movie. The problem with superhero really movies.
I just love like the cinematography and the whole Batman thing was cool.
What about Batman versus Superman? Why do they got beef?
I don't know. That's gonna be.
Why can't they fucking?
I don't think that's gonna be good.
Oh, that'll be cheap, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I've heard a lot of different theories about what's going on there. Like maybe Ben Affleck superhero is not movies, Bruce Wayne Batman. He's a different Batman.
The superhero movies are never good once the guy's already exposed.
Because then they add a superhero
cool when you find out why.
The origin story is always cool. That's why I like the original Star Wars. That was a big origin story of like the whole like Luke Skywalker.
I can watch a lot of X-Men.
The whole Star Wars series is an origin story. Like where did Darth Vader fucking come from? Who the fuck's Leia?
X-Men's like that a little bit. I can watch that shit all day. I
watched X-Men yesterday.
Every time it's on, I watch it.
X-Men's
every single
good
time.
That's like Star Wars.
I didn't like
Wolverine.
It was X-Men. I didn't like that much.
It was all right. It was all right.
I liked it. I liked it enough. But one of my favorite Deadpool superhero movies, period, is Unbreakable.
Amazing.
Unbreakable.
Yeah,
amazing.
Let's go back to that. That's Unbreakable.
The bench press scene?
I haven't seen it.
Unbreakable Bruce Willis is fucking amazing. Yeah. And like that movie's so
Bruce
underrated.
Willis discovers the slingshot and just benches
it's
some.
It's so underrated. And people were like, oh.
Yeah, that movie's great.
Wasn't he putting buckets on the end of the
movie? Yeah. He keeps telling his kid to step back. He's like, step back. And he keeps telling him step back further and further.
It was
keeps
so cool.
Adding more and
like,
more weight.
Yeah, and it was, and nobody liked it. I remember.
So good.
I remember like
such
a lot.
A good movie.
I'm glad we all agree on it because like
holy
a lot of people
crap
didn't like
who
it.
Who directed that one? Boring idea.
That was M. Night Shyamalan.
Oh, yeah, Shyamalan and Ding Dong.
Yeah, hasn't done really much good sense, right?
he did something recently. Yeah,
he did a TV show that people like, right?
He just did a movie that did really well.
He just did something. A movie,
Airbender or whatever. No.
No, no.
That's a cartoon, and that's a great cartoon. The cartoon of that's amazing.
There's a new movie with Vin Diesel called like The Last Witch Hunter.
Yeah, probably so bad.
It sucked.
What's wrong with Vinny, man?
There's a new movie with Bill Murray called Rock the Casbah. I got 8% on Rotten Tomatoes. I was all psyched to see it, and I'm like, I can't even go see it with that.
I just saw Ghostbusters for the first time ever.
Oh, I love Ghostbusters.
So good.
They're doing a reboot with
Chicks, right?
Yeah, with what's her name is going to be in it?
Ronda Rousey.
Melissa McCarthy. And
it should have been Ronda Rousey. That would be amazing.
Yeah.
The Visit.
The Last Airbender.
The Airbender, after Earth, was kind of shit.
Oh, The Visit. What was that all about?
Wait. I think.
It was a boy and girl. They go to visit their grandparents, and their grandparents are weird.
Oh, no, I didn't see that.
Okay.
I saw the trailer
like
for that.
It
looked terrifying.
I didn't see it, but it did pretty well.
What about I was thinking of The Guest. The Guest?
I don't know. All those scary movies are...
No, The Gift.
The Gift.
The Gift. That was with Jason Bateman with the creepy guy. That was pretty cool.
I'm so stupid. I can't even remember if I've seen a movie or not.
The Last Airbender.
Legitimately, I have no idea what I've seen sometimes.
After Earth. Oh, my
Signs.
God. That was with,
I didn't know he was
Signs
an executive producer.
Fucking
that
fat. That's great. I like
that was...
After Earth, Will Smith, right?
Will Smith?
Yeah, it sucked.
Will Smith's son is the worst.
Oh, yeah, I love movie. Will Smith, though. It sucks.
Yeah. What about the concussion movie, Will Smith? Any good, you think? Or where
I
he
don't
plays
know.
Like that?
I don't think I'll like it.
No way.
Yeah,
the
really
NFL doesn't like it already.
Well, what's the NFL movie? I think it's about the Browns, too, where the guy, it's kind of like a...
Draft Day?
Yeah, that's what the preview of the Will Smith movie looks like.
It's hard to make a movie about, like,
Draft
sports.
Day looks bad.
Like, all of it
Moneyball
looks bad.
Was actually really cool.
That's pretty good.
That was a behind-the-scenes look at sports.
Yeah.
But for the most part, those movies aren't
And Moneyball is, like, somewhat real.
Yeah. Right.
About a real guy.
Only somewhat.
The reason we love sports is because there's already drama. Don't make a fake sports movie.
You don't
besides really, Rocky.
It's hard to see.
Yeah, besides Rocky.
But even Rocky's loosely based on...
Rocky's a little bit different. Like, boxing is a different animal because it's an individual sport. It's an individual guy. It's hard to, like, do a team sport movie.
And fake.
Really good.
Just
Program was
drama.
Successful, I think.
The Program?
Wasn't The Program pretty successful?
Was that a fake story?
That's with Latimer, and we were talking about the other day.
Oh, yeah,
the guy taking steroids.
The college movie that showed up. It was a little bit cheesy, but it was really cool, I thought.
Yeah, but I'm sure, like, movie-wise, it probably did okay.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, they're rebooting it?
The Program?
They should.
2015?
So. Please Looks like me. It.
Ooh, no.
What about the reboot of Point Break? So if Point Break was one of the best
Never
movies ever. Like, best action movies of all. I don't know what you call it. Action movie?
Yeah, Point Break
best
is good.
Of all time. And it's like, now they're rebooting it, and it's like... They're showing, like, money falling from the sky. And
why are we using the word reboot? Is that the word we're going with?
Remake, right?
I don't know.
Refeed?
Reboot?
Well, because they're...
Refeed. We're on a refeed with these Sour Patch Kids.
If they're putting money into it, they're trying to get a franchise out of it, so it's a
reboot
instead of a...
Control-Alt-Delete.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a movie, isn't it?
What is the Program? Can you click on that and see what's going on there?
This new one?
Can we go back to Star Wars? They're making a Star Wars...
No, it doesn't look like
it at all.
Champion, Hero, Legend...
Cheat. Nope.
What is that about?
I don't
Lance
know.
Armstrong?
Stephen Frears.
Oh, yeah. Why is Lance Armstrong
Lance
in
Armstrong.
Little trailer?
It's about,
yeah, about long, Lance Armstrong. Yeah.
Wow. The Armstrong Live was dope.
That was a great movie. You like that, yeah, boy?
You know, Lance Armstrong, he tweeted me after when Nowitzki was on Joe Rogan. And he's like, you're listening to this bullshit? And I was like, well, what's he saying? And he's like, oh, it's all bullshit. Half the things he's saying is bullshit. So I don't know if he has been on Rogan yet, but I hooked
Lance?
Up Rogan with Lance. Yeah,
that's amazing.
I said, well, you got to get on there and tell your side of the story, you know, if you want to do that, you know.
That's interesting. That's
so weird that he.
Why didn't you bring Lance onto the podcast, on the PowerCast?
We can if you want.
Hell yeah. Are you kidding me? No, that sounds terrible. We want Lance Armstrong on here.
You talk about the juice?
Yeah.
What, Jamba Juice?
We should talk about the juice right now. Why not?
Hell yeah.
Everybody thinks Silent Mike's on that shit.
No, he's natural. He's, yeah. Yeah, he's not on shit.
What, these 16s are natural?
Everybody loves to talk about, like, who's on steroids. Who's
There's
not.
A whole website called Natty or Not.
Who's
Natty
on first?
And so it tells you, like,
what's on second?
Tells you if somebody's natural or not.
Well, so they go through this analytics, like Omar's on there, and he's 3.5 or out of 5
chances.
People
think Omar's on steroids?
It's, like, kind of a joke, kind of not. Look, let's see if Mark's on there. They just take, like, fitness people.
And are they talking about lifetime natural?
Yeah, see, drug-free, lifetime natural. I don't know what. Yeah, here we go, Natty or Not.
There was a whole lot of.
God damn, these fucking Sour Patch Kids are dope.
They're addicting as
fuck. I feel like
you know what's great is right before we went on the air here, he goes, I don't really like candy like this. Now he's like addicted to them.
They are. Candy's addicting.
They changed me.
Okay,
they turned me out.
This is articles. Where's.
Yeah, I
where's
think articles, the, and then it just lists people.
Is John
here.
Romano on here?
Writing, you what? Mean?
No, I mean, is he on there?
You go to, yeah, is go Mike, to articles.
Michael
you just got to scroll around. Yeah, I'm sure he is.
Have you seen any of Romano's articles, Boar, about him talking about how the CrossFit community is very naive and they should understand that a lot of the athletes are using steroids?
No, I haven't seen that.
We just had a chat with our CrossFit homies about it.
What do they think?
That's why they brought
Who
Mark
cares
on.
What they think? What do you think, buddy?
I think
you're
lot,
the fucking
I,
expert.
I just think a lot of people are on steroids. That people, you know, like when I first came to Gold's Gym,
I love them if they're on my team.
Yeah,
that's my favorite line.
I used to be like, I don't know. I mean, that guy, you know, he could be natural, whatever. Now that I know so many people that use steroids, I just think everybody's on them. You know, like not everybody, but a lot of people are on them.
You think everybody's on them, but me?
And a lot of people say that they're natural, and there's a reason that they don't. There's nothing really to gain.
Is there any some real like telltale signs that someone's on them? Like I used to always say, like
acne.
If someone's over like 220,
if somebody's yeah.
And they're under 10% body fat, that's a good indicator. But
you don't rule out lightweights, right?
There's also Anderson Silva, who's been tested for or who's. Tested positive for performance-enhancing drugs. There's a lot of other people that don't look that great that have tested positive for them.
War on Sour Patch Kids.
I'm going to try one.
I'm going to try. Yeah, like you never had one before.
What are these things? Snickers? Yeah. Never heard of it.
Vegan Gains?
Yeah.
That's worse.
There's also different performance-enhancing drugs that may or may not be steroids that don't add mass, correct?
What?
Right.
Like what?
Oh, like EPO or something. Or even like something
growth
like...
hormone.
Yeah, or something like Anavar, right?
Sour Patch Kids.
If I take a bunch of Anavar and I don't eat more food, I'm not going to get up to 250.
Anavar will get you stronger, you know?
You know what I mean, though, right? If I don't eat more food.
You know what's crazy is almost all the fitness girls are on Anavar. And
they're not 200 pounds.
Bikini girls and all this stuff. And like
they're 120
people
pounds.
People ask me, like, what does your girlfriend take? I'm like, she doesn't even take aspirin. So it's like, it's funny because it's hard to tell with the girls because you don't know what they look like coming into it.
Yeah.
So you have to, like, have a baseline. If you saw a girl
with
zero muscle on and then
So maybe, like, a decent indicator period across the board would be if you knew somebody for a while and they're similar for a very long period of time. They've gained 15 pounds of strength. They've gained 10 pounds over the course of 6 years. Like, all that's, like, within reason of them still being natty, right?
Oh, yeah. If they gain, like, 30 pounds or they get shredded.
Right.
30 good pounds.
You're kind of like, I don't know, man. Like, I don't know about that guy.
Yeah, they go up and down.
Like, and then also, like, what is your definition of natural? Like, I feel if you're taking a testosterone booster or some sort of pro-hormone, you're doing the same thing as steroids do. So you're basically on steroids. Like, it's the same exact thing.
I don't know.
And so what happens is these drugs that are – these pro-hormones that are legal – when they figure out that they actually work pretty good, they make them illegal. And so then basically you were on the juice. So it's like,
right.
Yeah,
you know, your intent is to get bigger using testosterone, then you're on steroids.
Yeah, I don't know if about USAPL or some of the drug-free powerlifting, but I do know some of the drug-free or drug-tested bodybuilding says that. Who knows how they test for it or whatever, but at least they say, like, no pro hormones, no nothing, you know, whether they can regulate
that. Well,
even,
like, Bryce, he wants to do the Paralympics or whatever, right? And he was saying that he can't be on anything, like, not a stimulant or nothing.
Well, college, like,
creatine.
College.
I think also people need to realize it's not the be-all, end-all.
Right.
You know? Like, after I did Bigger, Stronger, Faster, I was like, okay, cool, now that I said this is okay, now I can try it.
Well, that's what
And I've tried it with, like, kind of minimal success, you know, like I was stronger before I ever did it because I have a lot of injuries now. So I don't think that would be the case if I didn't have a lot of injuries, but like, and I never got as much out of it as I thought I was going to get out of it. And I realized oh, cool, all my lifts were going to go through the roof. And it's just not really the case. It's like, you still got to work really hard.
Well, and some of that may be genetic too. They talk about the top powerlifters, the bodybuilders, being able to physically and mentally handle more drugs or more whatever, so that they can excel faster or more.
Ronnie Coleman's a monster either way, right? I mean, you know what I mean? Like,
rumor has it Kai Greene turned IFBB pro before he took anything. There's pictures of him, and he looks ridiculous. And he's just 40 pounds smaller scale.
Yeah. Like, I would maybe question, you know, whether he's able to get become an actual pro way, but I'm sure he's able to get very close to
for
it anyway.
Phil Heath, right? He's on stage about 230, 240 now. If you look at his college basketball pictures, he's 180. And it looks the exact same.
People need to understand also there's a big difference between using the amount of steroids that I use, which is maybe like 40 milligrams of Anavar with
are you giving me a protocol right now?
With like 400 milligrams of testosterone. And then, you know, like doing something like that and maybe throwing a little Primobolan or something like that. That's a big difference in doing
insulin,
growth hormone, and then like seven other drugs.
And whatever your mom's on. What's your mom on?
Metformin.
Yeah. None of that bullshit.
Well, what I'm saying is like there's a huge difference between taking a giant stack of drugs, you know. And then taking like, you know.
So you're suggesting that we have another powerlifting federation
extra
that's
drugs?
Just for the guys that are only taking like a mid,
yeah,
like
40 mgs or
well,
more.
Here's the other thing is that everybody claims they take a little bit.
Isn't that great? No, but that guy.
I took some for a few for a minute.
No, yeah, you hear what that guy takes.
I only take a little bit. You know what he takes,
right? Yeah. He's like, Joey Swole over there takes.
People always
natty,
accuse.
Buddy.
What?
Joey Swole's natty.
I wasn't talking about the real Joey Swole. I was just making up a name.
Okay. People always talk about, like the strongest lifters in the world. They're like, oh, he runs a lot of shit.
Okay, let's talk about like guys that are the strongest guys in the world, like Ed Cohn.
Right.
Like, you know, when you talk to him about it, there's not a whole lot. It's not like, oh, and I was taking insulin and growth. And
even if it was, it does not explain the strength level.
I was taking some tests and I got in trouble for it, you know?
Yeah.
Well, testing some Decker or something like that. Not a big deal. Not a whole lot because he was already strong. When he was 16 years old, he squatted 500 pounds. Right. So explain that.
Yeah, weighing 150 pounds.
We had Jesse Norris here a few weeks ago, and he said something different in the interview that he did with Mark and Mike than he did on the podcast. And there was a lot of conversation on YouTube about it and back and forth and whatever, because he said, I could probably even read it to you, but basically what he said was that people are small-minded. They can't believe that someone like me couldn't do what I can do without taking performance-enhancing drugs. But in the middle of that sentence, he digressed into, I'm not going to say I'm natural. Or I don't want to say I'm natural. Right. That's what he said.
That can be taken a million ways.
And it can be taken a million ways. And the way I said, just take the digressions out of the sentence. And that's what he was trying to say. Yeah. Because a million times in live interviews, people always digress into something that they didn't mean to
say. He could have easily been saying, like, I don't want to sit here and just say, I'm natural,
exactly.
And argue all
that's
day
how
long.
I
think that's exactly what he meant. Because people are small-minded. They hear a 100-pound deadlift, and they're automatically saying, you are on them. I don't care what you say or how you say it. Or what federation you get tested.
But it's so weird. People don't argue about Mike Tashier. I've never really once heard one person say, like, oh, Mike Tashier's on shit.
Yeah.
No one says that.
It's unexplainable. The guy deadlifts like 850 pounds.
And
you know?
Isn't he only like a 275-er? It's not like he's fucking 400 pounds.
When we were kids, there was a powerlifter. There's a guy that ran the federation we lifted in. His name's Pete Gisondi. He's still a friend of mine on Facebook, and he's a great guy.
Why'd you have to throw on Facebook? He's not a friend in real life?
No, he's a friend in real life, but he lives in New York, whatever. So Pete Gisondi was
huge. He's in Bigger, Stronger, Faster,
He's in Bigger, Stronger, Faster. He asked us, you know, people think you guys are on drugs, like that scene in the beginning where we're out of power.
Yeah, we're little kids.
Smelly's like 15, and he's already like a foot taller than me. It's like ridiculous. But anyway, so that guy told me, he said, no, he said, I asked him, I said, Do you remember Steve Scalpi? He goes, of course I remember Steve Scalpi. He was our guy. He trained with us. He said
181, 198, right?
800 pound deadlift at 198.
Jacked.
He was jacked, and he goes, and he was drug free. He goes, because all the rest of us, you know, we were doing whatever, and he was drug free. And I'm like, he was drug free? And he goes, oh, yeah, Steve wouldn't take anything. And he had an 800 pound deadlift. And, Pete Desondi's kind of like a really, you know, religious guy. I don't think he would, like, tell me a lie if he right. As far as he knew, the guy was natural.
Yeah, right.
And when he saw the guy, like, he was pretty jacked. But, like, who knows? I mean, this guy deadlifts, what, 635, mm-hmm. Drug-free. Now you're talking about, like, a guy that's a little bit more squatty and a little bit more jacked doing, you know, I think he did a 793 or something like that. So who knows, you know?
Yeah. I don't think you can, though. That's the thing. People just want to jump to the conclusion because – in part because the
I fell asleep there for a second.
Because the comparison is not good. The comparison to themselves is not good. They don't look good. They can't.
Well,
they're not that strong.
In powerlifting, really, I realized that, you know, if you just deny something forever, that no one will ever really know the truth. You know, I do understand that part of it. You just deny the fuck out of it.
Deny.
Yeah, no one will ever know, right?
Right.
But what's the real gain in powerlifting? Like, what is Jesse Norris' gain? You know, swimming in a big thing of money because he deadlifts 800 pounds in a drug-tested federation. Lance Armstrong had a lot more on the line. A lot of these professional baseball players and football players and stuff, there's a lot more on the line. So, of course, they're going to lie about it. They're kind of forced to.
I think you make yourself look stupid going around saying that you're natural. You make yourself look like...
I only said it
good.
Once, and I, you know.
Yeah. You know, it just looks stupid if you're really not.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Right.
And if you are, usually the people don't talk about it that much. They don't really say, oh, but I'm natural, Like, you don't really ever say it. I never hear Simon Mike. I don't really ever hear Simon Mike walking around going, I'm all natural, and I train natural. Like, he just says, I deadlift 635, and I'm...
To me, those people are the same people who are always talking about how great their relationship is on social media.
Yeah, yeah, true.
You know, it's like, they're trying
my relationship sucks.
Trying to force it into
Sandy,
reality through...
if you're out there, listen.
You should probably listen to us first day.
Yeah, sure.
You know,
she sits at her desk and pretends to work.
That's great. People always talk about, like, you know, what's cheating. You know, they'll say, oh, that's cheating. Right. This is cheating or that's cheating. Well, in powerlifting, you know, you can decide to go to a non-tested federation if you want, or you can go into a tested federation. So if you're natural and that's where you want to stay, you want to stay in that lane, then you can go that way. But cheating, I guess, in this case would be you taking stuff, you know, being on steroids, and then going into the USAPL and competing and beating other athletes that are being tested that are actually clean, right?
Ironically,
I mean, is that how we kind of define it, right?
When we were young, me and Mark always got tested because we were teenagers. So they only had to test 10% of the lifters.
Right.
This is back in the old
even still, I think it's something like that.
ADFPS. So they only have to test 10%.
I think CrossFit does like
2%. 10% of the lifters, and it was only by polygraph. So it's just a lie detector test. And they would test the teenagers and the women.
I just learned.
So all the guys could get away with it.
Right. I just learned that in a lie detector, you sit on like a butthole sensor.
A what?
Excuse me?
wait, what lie detector did you go to?
I haven't never taken one, but you sit on a thing.
Are you telling the truth right now? I can't tell.
No, I swear. Like,
bend over.
How fancy one. You sit on a thing because your butthole.
And you bloop it?
No, kind of. It's like a sensor.
You've been talking about your asshole a lot lately.
This must be something somebody lied to you about, because it's like that.
I swear.
It goes on your finger.
Yeah, yeah. There's some on your finger, but then a fancy one, they're getting your heart rate.
It goes on your finger, and then you shove your finger up your ass.
And then you're like,
I like where this is
going. I swear you're sitting on something, and it reads if your butthole is shivering.
I need to take a lie detector.
Your butthole's never shivered.
I got it.
Type in butthole shiver on Google. Tell me what that pops up.
I'm sorry. I won't be doing
it. Yeah, like your butthole. Yeah, quiver. Shiver, same thing. You've never had a quiver of
fart?
You're lying.
Yeah, yeah.
You're lying out.
Have you ever done cocaine?
Lying out your ass. Is that what it is? Lying out your ass.
Yeah. See?
Yeah. God damn.
See?
That's not, lie detector guy's all hooked.
You can't see his butthole sensor, but it's there.
Did you put
a butthole?
I swear I saw
the awkward truth about lie detectors.
I also heard they're not that accurate.
Well, if they're up your ass,
they better be accurate. Line 20, big butthole sensor.
Oh, yeah. Oh, there we go. Yeah, there it is, right next to the fucking Nutella.
Where was Nutella made?
Oh, here we go.
What?
Where was Nutella made?
Where was it made?
I think that guy just died.
Sweden?
He did die.
Yeah, no, where? Close. He died in Nazi Italy was made.
Nazi Italy?
Well, like right after World War II.
Is there a Nazi Italy?
There was a Nazi Italy, right?
I don't know.
I thought that was a town you were talking about. I was like,
no.
I can't believe there's
like
a town.
Mussolini and shit. I'm way smarter than you guys give me credit for.
after World War II.
There was no chocolate around.
There was a shortage of chocolate.
So
you've heard of Ferrero Rocher.
Whoa, fancy.
It's like a truffle kind of thing.
Those
like
are actually kind of gross. I don't like
them. Yeah, okay. Well, it's the same guy.
Yeah, so what he did, he was a hazelnut farmer or something, and he mixed half hazelnut, half chocolate.
Yes.
But that was basically like a Nazi is what I said. And I might have been wrong.
1947.
I've never even had Nutella, to tell you the truth.
It's not. It's overrated. Just get chocolate sauce.
Really had
He's
it.
Crazy. It's delicious.
Yeah, it's fine. It's fine.
It's good.
It's fine.
I mean, I'm fat without it. I mean, who needs it?
Yeah.
You're not fat, though.
Here, let me stick this up your butt and see if you're telling the truth.
You'll get the calories.
What the hell? I think you're getting it confused with the arousal thing they put on your dick, like to see if you're...
I've never had anything on my dick.
To see if you're a child molester or
they
whatever.
They bring you in and put a cock ring on?
Maybe.
Speaking of child molesters...
Wait a second. What the hell is this about?
Ever seen
an arousal thing?
Have you
the best nope, thing? Not around. Nope, that picture doesn't do it for me. Yeah. What the hell?
Is that like gay hunting? A picture of dicks?
No, it's like the beginning of playground, you little faggot.
opening a Ghostbusters.
What the hell?
Cards.
What the hell is going on around here?
What were you going to say?
This podcast is going
down. I was just going to say, we were talking about...
This is the worst one we've ever done.
I was talking about To Catch a Predator.
Yeah.
And I was watching it one time.
Chris Hansen?
Yeah, I was watching it one time, and this guy is sort of like
And you heard?
He's sort of like a midget, but he wasn't a midget. He was like maybe like
little person,
4'10" or something. And he comes in, he's all like, you know, he's kind of all tough looking, wearing like a Carhartt jacket and like beard and everything. And Chris Hansen's like, I can't believe we caught you twice. The guy was on the show 2 times. So he went to jail. He got out of jail, and then he fell for it again.
Another 15 minutes right there.
I was like, man, poor little Mojito. I don't know what his problem was. I don't know what happened to him. But like, imagine being on the same
thing
twice.
What's that show? They touch little kids on that show?
They go thinking that they're going to go meet a 12-year-old girl or whatever.
It's like so creepy.
Bait, whatever.
Damn, that's a crazy ass concept for a fucking show, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Let me. I got a show to pitch you. Like, let's go in. We're gonna dress like perverts.
Yeah. How crazy?
Yeah, who tried out?
We're gonna set this up where we're gonna bring in. You know.
Well, what about the guys that like are setting up these like fake accounts to make them appealing?
Yeah, yeah, they're disgusting. Like
they're twisted too.
That's why I talk about like horror movies or like ever. Scary movies.
The worst show ever is Catfish because it's all predicated on people.
He was at your premiere.
It's all predicated. He was.
I saw him. He was getting popcorn.
Oh, I love the show.
No, no, he's fine. Yeah, yeah.
I love the show, but it's funny because it's all predicated on like it's all
fat people.
I don't
know what this is.
It's all fat
catfish.
People.
Catfish.
Like when you find out who the
girl they're always
is,
gross.
Or who the guy is, it's always fat.
So Catfish Smelly is a show where two guys, Neve
and
his
Tyler?
Maybe
his
cousin.
Maybe his
cousin?
Yeah. Buddy?
Cousin. Yeah, cousin.
What's his name? Date?
I don't know. So they go on the internet and people write him emails. Like Chris writes him an email. Like
Ken
hey.
Kniff?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Kind of like that. So it's internet dating like gone wrong. And so like they've never met each other. Like, hey, I've been dating this chick through the internet 3 years.
The football player from Notre Dame.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Monte Teo.
It's like stories like that.
Like, he has a girlfriend, but it's fake, and then they go and they
so
find...
So they investigate it. Yeah,
they
there
investigate,
he is.
They find
Neve
the person.
Or whatever was buying popcorn at your premiere. I saw him.
Did he come into the premiere?
I think so.
A different movie.
Oh, maybe. Was there different movies at that exact same time?
I don't think so.
I don't think so. I think he was at your movie.
We'll have to hit him up.
This dude.
But yeah, it's amazing, because that show is like... They always go and hunt down the person. Like, I've been talking to this person for 3 years.
They're texting hella hot pictures.
There's only one time where I saw where it was a hot chick, and when it was a hot chick, and then like it didn't actually work out.
Yeah, of course.
And the chick was a wrestler. She like
WWE?
No, she was like an amateur wrestler, and she was like hot, and she was like an ass kicker. But then when she met the guy in real life, they didn't really click. So it bombed out. Mm. You know.
The internet's ruined it.
It's a great show. You got to watch it because it always ends up being somebody so fat.
I've definitely watched it before. I just don't know how. In this day and age, people get to that point of like...
Hey, you can do your own investigation.
Yeah, exactly. You can find out about people if you really want to know. I mean,
you don't want to know. That's the thing.
That's my point, exactly.
Click on their profile picture, drag it into Google Images, and they'll show where that image comes up.
Right.
Then you realize, oh, that's not the person that...
Yeah. Yeah.
You're like, oh, it's a hot girl, but it's a fat guy. Instead, you're like, I don't care.
Yeah.
I'll fuck anything at this point.
Yeah, exactly.
If you're lonely, you're lonely, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I've never been with a fat guy before. Maybe I'll just give it a fucking whirl. Why not?
Yeah.
Give it a try.
You're lonely. They're not charging anything. I mean, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of amazing.
Leads to another.
You can leave whenever you want. You know.
What website is this? Our show? How do I get on the show? We got to audition?
I'll have Catfish on, and Lauren will be like, oh, like, turn that off, turn that garbage off. Next thing you know, she's like totally sucked into it. Like,
that's great.
Got to find out who did it.
Kind of like me and these fucking Sour Patch Kids.
Oh my god,
it's like Dateline NBC too. She always tells me like, you're like an old man.
Oh,
you just watch
Dateline. That's
so scares me.
And what's crazy about Dateline is when somebody doesn't get killed, I don't want to watch it. When it's like about like special investigative report about this, I'm like, I don't. I want to find like, you know, see
somebody's
got to
get fucking murdered.
Somebody get murdered. I got to find out who did it. Yeah.
All that stuff freaks me out.
And I hate when they lead you on who did it. Like,
what do you think about murdering that pussy?
What do I think about it?
Yeah.
That's kind of gross.
I know, but it supposedly has happened before.
I think it's a rapper
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, it's a rap thing. Hmm.
To get in trouble for that?
I've never seen that on Dateline, though.
What are you in jail for? Killing that pussy?
Yeah, exactly.
That'd be cool if it was on Dateline.
Cuttlefish? Is that what it was? What kind of fish was it?
Cuttlefish is similar to a pussy.
Yeah.
Have you seen a cuttlefish? Have you ever seen a cuttlefish?
No.
I'll buy you one for your birthday.
Yeah, get me one.
Yeah, why not?
Cuttlefish can't be
Lauren
that expensive.
Can't say shit about that.
Lauren will be like, why you got your dick in a fish tank?
Yeah, again.
Yeah.
Yeah, cuttlefish, man.
I don't think she cares about stuff like that, you know?
About dicks and...
cuttlefish and stuff, yeah.
She's not into it.
I don't think she'd care.
Oh. Hey, now. I think it is a cuttlefish, right?
What? Yeah.
Those things act like dogs, too.
Wait, whose pussy does that look like? I've never seen one that looks like that. That looks like Jar Jar Binks.
Do we have the wrong fish? I thought it was.
I thought it was a cuttlefish.
Maybe it's not a cuttlefish. It's
I don't think it's a cuttlefish.
Something else fish.
God, I don't want to cuddle with that fish.
Pucker fish? No. What the
pucker
hell?
Pucker fish. That's disgusting.
No, look at the puffer. Front of that one.
Oh, maybe a puffer? No.
Those are weird.
This is disgusting. What is that fish that we want
to
fuck?
Yeah, we're trying to like, whack off to fish.
This looks like Zoidberg from
a filth?
Futurama right here.
Filth. You, wait, what did you say? Who do you say Lauren looks like?
Quagmire.
Quagmire. That's amazing.
When she smiles, she's got like this big, like giant cheeks. And like
Quagmire's an amazing character. He's just
Asian
a total
eyes.
Pervert.
And it's great because I call her that and she just like dies laughing. She can't help like laughing from it. It's not like she gets mad, like, don't call me that.
Don't call me weird.
No, she's got no comeback. She just...
like, I'm a little quaggy. Yeah, you know.
God damn.
A little quaggy.
Quagmire. Quagmire is great.
That's a great show. Stewroids. The best episode ever.
Stewroids.
Yeah.
So good.
Oh,
I don't think
so you
that's
got coming. You got your movie coming out in January, and I was going to ask you. I noticed that there's a lot of different ways that movies are coming out now, and I can't even remember what movie it was now. But I heard the other day that people are releasing movies, and they're releasing them in a lot of different ways than they used to, rather than just have them come out in the movie theater.
Sure.
They're being released in the movie theater, on Netflix, on YouTube. They're being released
straight
everywhere.
To Redbox.
Kind of all at once. What do you think about some of the different changes and stuff that are going on now?
I think people are trying to – okay, so you want to – if you're going to spend $1 million on advertising, just say $1 million, they're probably not going to spend that much on mine, but say they spend a couple $100,000 on advertising. Yeah. You want to spend that money – and get the most out of it. So the best way to get the most out of it is, like, get it to the most people that you can the very first day. Now, some people, I know, like, Jim and I talk about this. Like, I like seeing movies in the theater. I think you do, too, right?
Yeah.
Like,
the movie theater will probably never change. It'll probably never change.
I'd rather.
Not in our lifetime.
Yeah, I'd always like to see something in a movie theater. So I would go to the theater and see it, whereas, like, you might say, you know what? I got kids. I'm going to sit at home. I'm going to order it and watch it with my wife.
And Netflix is so popular
Well,
now.
Also, too,
but,
what
but
if
Netflix
you...
is a
and chill.
Here's the problem with Netflix. Netflix is going to have to change their business model because I think something else will come along that's more filmmaker-friendly. So Netflix, you'll sell your movie to Netflix for, like Bigger, Stronger, Faster. I'll give you an example. Millions of people have watched that on Netflix, and I don't get any money out of it.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Eventually, the studios and the filmmakers are going to say, hey, this is bullshit. We sell it to you for $100,000, and then we never see a penny out of it. So what they're going to start doing is, like, have to do is, like, an upfront fee, and then
royalty,
the filmmakers
and
get, like, royalties.
And kind of YouTube or something.
Depending on how many views
well,
it gets, just like YouTube.
I hear things
YouTube Red just came out. Isn't it YouTube Red a pay?
YouTube Red. It's pay, yeah.
Red Tube?
YouTube kills everybody.
Red Tube or?
$9.99 a month.
Red Tube.
So what can you watch on YouTube
Red?
Yeah,
YouTube
Anything?
Red is Red Tube, right?
Yeah, well, I think so.
YouTube Hello. Red right now is... regular YouTube videos without any ads.
Like we can,
and as a creator, we everybody had to opt into the system where if people subscribe to YouTube Red and they watch your videos, then you get your money that way instead of through advertising. Then they're going to start producing original content.
That's what I would be interested in.
With YouTube stars, people who are already established YouTube stars, and that like PewDiePie is getting a series that's totally different than what
that guy's so weird. I don't know why he's so popular. I watched one video.
Me too. I don't get it.
He was
kind
of creepy.
He's fired up.
He's the biggest YouTuber of all time.
Yeah, he's the gaming guy.
Yeah, but he's just so weird.
What about the person who opens up packages? Have you seen that?
Oh, yeah.
That's
the female,
weirdest
right?
thing ever. Like, they just open up, like,
unboxing
little toys.
Unboxing videos.
Yeah. Well, unboxing, one of the biggest YouTubers, like, somebody that unboxes, like, toys for little kids.
She makes, like, $2 million a year off of
it. It's so ridiculous. It's like, what is that? Why do you want to see that?
I don't get it. But part of YouTube Red is now YouTube Music. Where it's basically like a music subscription service, and then there's another piece of the gaming channel too. You get all that.
I think that like the distribution models have changed, and it's great. And a lot of times, as a filmmaker, people miss the boat. Mm-hmm. You know, as far as like how to distribute the movie, because they think like, oh well. I'm not gonna put it on Showtime because that's not enough money. But like you gotta realize there are so many avenues that you can make money on a film. So you release it to.
Well, what about just getting another job too? You know what I mean? Like just the ability to get another job from a lot of people seeing your film.
Exactly. So what you want to do is like you want to put your movie out as many ways as possible to every single audience as possible. Like our film will come out and there's only a small window to monetize it. Like between if you want to see it between January and April, then you got to pay for it. If you want to see it after April, it'll probably be on Netflix by then.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we have a pretty small window because our film was actually funded with a Netflix deal in place.
I think also, if I was to catch a film that was good, through, like, Netflix and just watch it on my laptop and I thought it was cool and I wanted to, like, maybe it's a film I thought would be good for the kids or good for me and Andy to see, then I'd go to the movie theater as well, you know? So it seems like a win-win. It seems like people will purchase it in multiple spots.
It's kind of weird Netflix doesn't pay anything like that. I heard, Jim Rome, the sports caster
Netflix
guy.
Netflix will pay a little bit up front, but then
I mean by view, he was in a very small role in Space Jam, and he talks about Space Jam getting played on like Disney Channel, and then a month later he gets like $50 in the mail. You know
that's
that movie?
That's
fucking awesome. Like why
Screen Actors Guild and all that?
Yeah, but it just seems like every movie ever should be that way.
And there's ridiculous laws. Like if you're like before 1980, if you're in a movie before 1984, and they play it on cable. Then you don't get any money for it because
Prime
the way
TV.
That SAG was set up. So my producer of Prescription Thugs is Peter Billingsley, who's the little kid who plays Ralphie in Christmas Story.
Christmas Story. Mm-hmm.
And every time they play it, like that marathon, he doesn't get any money.
He's the main kid in Christmas Story?
So when you
Story?
Ask him about it, he's just like, he doesn't get that mad about it. But like, he plays
the little kid with glasses.
Little blonde
that was like my dad's favorite movie. Yeah, I've never even seen it.
He's amazing. Well, you got to watch that.
I know. I think it takes
he was at
place
the
in Cleveland.
Peter was at the premiere.
Really?
He's Vince Vaughn's partner. Oh, not partner, but like his partner in business.
Can we get
careful.
Vince Vaughn on here?
Be careful.
Can we get Vince Vaughn
maybe,
on here?
Perhaps.
He was a football player like Idaho or Iowa or some shit. I think
Vince
he played
Vaughn,
DN.
I met him. I only met him once, and he walked in the office, and he was like, bigger, stronger, faster. I love that movie. Then he starts getting all the politics about the juice, and
that's
he
great.
Started talking about it. He's like, all right, see you later. And he, so he came in. Kind of like a
it's like he was never there.
4 or 5 minute promo, and then he's out.
That's great, though. You should have recorded the whole thing.
Yeah, I you know, that's the best thing for me is like I was just in Best Buy yesterday, and I'm walking out the door, and a guy's like, "I loved your movie," and I'm like, "That's like to me, that's why you do it." Like I don't do it. I don't make a lot of money off of it. I do it because I love doing it. It's fun. It's fun to like expose things and talk about things, and eventually it'll turn into something bigger. You know,
stronger,
faster.
Hey now.
Yeah.
All right, man. You got anything else to say?
Yeah, nothing, man.
Nothing.
Yeah, nothing.
I'm ready for lunch.
Yeah.
You got nothing.
I got nothing. I got zero.
You got zero.
Yeah.
You got nothing to say.
I got a lot to say, actually.
Is this a show about nothing?
Yeah.
You know, a lot of times...
oh, man.
Here we go.
I started when I was four.
I do got something to say because a lot of people always ask me. They always like want to make a documentary, and they always have these ideas to make a documentary. But I always just tell them, like, I didn't, you know, when I started, I started with nothing. I didn't start with a lot of money, or I didn't start with, you know, a budget in place. And it just started with, like, writing an outline for it. And most people can't even get there. They just hit me up and want me to do it. So I tell them, like, yeah, write an outline. Then I never hear from them again. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of steps in doing it and making a movie. And if you want to get there, and you also got to understand, like, most people are like, oh, you must have made that movie and made millions of dollars, and that's not the way it goes. So if you want to make a documentary, you have to be in it because you love what you're doing.
When you ask people for money to make some of these films, how many people to get turned down by you know, before you strike it and get a couple people to say yes?
Most of them, but actually the the percentage,
most of people won't respond back, or
the percentage is pretty good because you go towards people that you know would be interested in it. So like you're actually going after a captive audience, whereas like you know like somebody will mention something. When I did Trophy Kids, my friend Jake was like, yeah, you know, I'd be interested in talking to you about Trophy Kids, and like right away I know like okay he wants to invest in it, so then I go after him. Right. To invest in it. And now we're, you know, this film that we're doing, we're working with MHP, and we're trying to get some other sponsors on board. And then we're also working with the company that did Generation Iron and trying to get them on board, because I think that that would be a great team. You know,
and it takes a long time, right? Like, it's not like you ask for money and then like a week later there's a big old check.
No, it takes, you know, usually anywhere. It usually takes about a year to get money from people, you know, even if it's small. Because people don't want to, you know, just write a check.
Yeah. It's hard to get people to actually commit to it. But that's pretty cool. I'm sure there's a lot of people out there that want to make a movie or do something big, and they don't know where to fucking start, you know?
Wait, by the way, can I get some money for this movie?
You already hit me up, and answer was already yes. I was the first one, so
absolutely,
there you go.
Absolutely, yeah. I want actually
Slingshot!
We're gonna put Slingshot on the movie. I think that that's really cool. I want to, you know, we want to help each other.
Yeah.
You know, so we want to come up with
why not? A movie about strong guys? I mean,
yeah. Hell yeah. So,
just need a couple shirtless scenes.
There you go.
Oh, yeah.
I want to do a powerlifting movie, but the problem with powerlifting is, like, nobody goes in the same competitions anymore. Like, it's all,
I don't even want to watch a powerlifting movie,
well,
to tell you the truth.
If it was about all the right people that were competing today, and, you know, when I went to Vegas for the Olympia, I saw a lot of cool shit. You know, like, I talked to a lot of cool people, and talking to guys I'd never met before, like Chad Wesley Smith, and talking to Chris Duffin, and all these guys are like really interesting.
You're better off
own.
Just, I think, coming up with a concept and then just putting it on YouTube, though.
Yeah. The best powerlifting.
All the powerlifters are on YouTube anyway.
Yeah.
Best powerlifting competitions, everyone's USAPL Nationals or IPF Worlds.
Yeah.
That's the only one where you get the top of the top going against each other.
Yeah, they're huge.
There's this Russian competition coming up where Sahir, Milan, and Eric, but that's about it.
Right.
And that's still. Then what about Dan Green? What about Jeremy Hamilton? What, you
exactly,
know, you're missing
you're
a bunch.
Missing a lot of guys. Yeah. So.
But USAPL Nationals and IPF Worlds, pretty much the best of the best show up.
Yeah. Well, it should be on TV, but it's not because it's not organized into one thing. It's hard to put it on TV. You know. Got to have the best competition.
Where can people find you or reach you or whatever?
At Big Strong Fast on Instagram and Chris Bell on Facebook. You know, they can email me at biggerstrongerfaster@me.com if they have any legitimate questions or want to give me money. Yeah,
or
want to get
picks.
Involved in something that I'm doing. So I don't mind that. I always try to answer as many people as I can. And if I can't, then you end up not getting answered and getting pissed and call me a faggot like they did at gym.
I get that sometimes.
I discovered
you're a pussy.
I discovered my whole other Facebook mailbox that I didn't know was there. I had years of messages from different people, some of them less appealing than others, I'd say.
That's great.
Yes.
That's pretty great, though. All right. Well, that was my fat little brother.
Hell yeah.
Or older brother.
Cheap
brother.
Cheap fat.
He's kind of responsible for all this. He's the one who got me into this fucking bullshit of powerlifting and the strength game. I'm at Mark Smelly Bell on Instagram and Twitter. Multiply your hustle, multiply your muscle, and may all your shits be tapered.
Thank you.
At Silent Mike on Twitter and Instagram. And that's all.
Shout out to our sponsors. Compex USA at shopcompex.com. Ape Man. What is Ape Man? Is it Ape Man Strong?
Ape Man Strong, I guess.
Ape Man Strong.
I'm wearing the Ape Man. He's wearing the Strong.
Yeah. Thanks to Ape Man for jumping on as a sponsor. And Rogue Fitness, thepowercast.com/rogue. And am I forgetting anybody? Oh, Slingshot.
Support.
Triceps in there.
Support the companies that support what you like and that give us crotch support. And we're always looking for more support.
Yeah, exactly. What about Zortec? We can't get them to sponsor
our
farts.
I need Zortec, farts, and Chipotle burrito.
Huh.
And carbon-infused underwear. I'm Jim McDee, STDV, on Instagram and Twitter. Follow the show on Instagram at Mark Bell's Powercast, Facebook.com/SuperTrainingGym, Twitter, and that other thing, Periscope, at STGymSack, and we're out.
Mark Bell's Powercast is a production of Super Train.